Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Podcast Show number 178. It's a bit of a sad day in a way because we've, as I mentioned, if you've seen on Facebook and Twitter, we're at a different pub than normal. We're at a pub called the North Pole, which is closing down tomorrow, which will be Friday, and then being knocked down on Saturday to make way for some flats. It's a lovely old proper.
It's not lovely.
It's
an old school East End boozer where you can get ham, egg and chips for £3.50. Mine's on its way, I can't wait.
Yeah.
And you can get a pint.
We've had a nostalgic trip.
It's one of those places that we don't come to often, but when we do, you always enjoy it.
It's also a very happy day, though, as well. Because
it's not Yaya Toure's birthday, is it?
No. We missed that, unfortunately.
Happy birthday, Yaya!
We've actually got an exciting announcement for the podcast to make later on in the show.
We do, yes. That's something to look forward to.
Which we will reveal later. Yeah. But whilst talking to the Godfather last week, Simon Head, he also did make the point that this is show number
178.
However, it's almost to the day.
Yeah.
The 4-year anniversary of the podcast.
It's getting close to it. Yeah, I can't remember the exact date.
It's getting very close because it was 4 years ago, nearly to the day, that Simon Head brought a couple of people lads down to the pint.
I joined in October of that year, so it was the. They went to the Mirror World Cup pub. It was Simon, Si Pitney, Dan Ferdinand, Stuart Horne, of course, Jim Staples, who's still with us.
It was almost 4 years
ago. Not that the others are dead, I say. Jim Staples is still with us.
Even Dan Ferdinand's still with us, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, they're still with us.
yeah, in spirit.
As far as we know.
And you're here, aren't you, Stuart?
Yeah.
Cheers, Stuart.
But yeah, so it's pretty much four year anniversary. How the hell have we been doing this for 4 years?
There's a lot of stupid people out there, and they called our listeners, I guess.
What are you doing?
I'm joking with them. It's self-deprecation. They're stupid enough to listen to us. You know, Dan, they're not stupid. They're all good-looking and handsome.
We're stupid enough to think that people actually want to listen to us.
I know, yeah, and some people still do. Perish the thought. But I've got a fact for 178 this week again.
Go on,
I've done that.
Because, well, you know, Jim moans. 178 is the number of A-League appearances made by Terry McFlynn of Sydney FC, Northern Irishman. Started his career at, and I can't remember the club, but some smaller. Oh, QPR. That's what it was. QPR made one appearance, some small club.
Oh, so he played in England?
Played in England. He's Northern Irish. Moved over there and become a bit of a legend for Sydney FC. I think he was their captain for a while.
Right.
Won two A-Leagues with him. He made 178 appearances. Never played for Northern Ireland, though, which you'd think someone in the A-League. I'm assuming it's because of the travel distance between them, but surely he would have been good enough to get in that Northern Ireland team.
But the A-League has only really come over the last three or four years.
But still, when they're calling up people from the Northern Irish League, which is a significantly lower quality, maybe it is just because of the travel, who knows. But there's your 178. Also, a trivia question for you.
Brilliant.
Which is the only recognised sovereign nation in the world to have absolutely no recognised national football team? So there are some that have non-FIFA football teams, like say the nation of Palau is not a FIFA nation, but they have a national football team who play in friendlies and stuff. Who is the only one? You won't get it, but
I have no idea.
Maybe you can mull over it for a bit. We'll come back to it later.
Is it Africa?
It's not. I'll give you a clue. They're from Oceania. So that's going to.
I was there the other night.
They were in Bournemouth.
Indonesian island or something?
It's the Marshall Islands. The only nation that have no national football team whatsoever in any club.
Why have they not?
Because there's no interest for it. There's
only 10 people that live there. They can't make a full team.
They are one of the smallest nations in the world. I think they've got something like 9,000 people. But there is a campaign on Facebook by some people there to try and start it.
I think they should.
So maybe they will. I doubt they'll join FIFA. We need more small emerging nations to qualify for major tournaments.
Even more ridiculous.
Speaking of emerging nations...
Well done.
Since Ryan Giggs made his Manchester United debut in 1991, there are 23 FIFA nations that have come into existence. So when he made his debut, 23 of the nations currently part of FIFA, didn't even exist, at least in their current form.
Have any of them qualified for a major tournament?
Yeah, because it's people like Russia and Ukraine. It's okay. they exist in some
outside
form.
Outside of Russia and Ukraine, emerging nations.
Bear in mind, a lot of them are no is the answer, because a lot of them are the right. former Yugoslav states, Czech Republic and Slovakia.
I'm not rubbishing it, but it'd be interesting to know if actually one of those
there are countries like South Sudan and Eritrea and Timor-Leste.
I like the fact as well that he's played with exactly 150 teammates. How many of those 150 do you reckon you could name?
I've done the quiz. There's a quiz on the website Sporkle, but it's not been updated. I think I've got past 100 before, certainly.
That's impressive.
I'll find a link for that.
1991, I mean, he does play for probably the most prominent team in our era, doesn't
but
he?
You also
your Richie DeLatz and your Chris Caspers.
Quinton
Fortune's quite well known. He still trains with United.
But still, there are those players that you forget even play for your club.
Who's the spotty one that left United?
Luke Chadwick.
And we've got a story on Luke Chadwick.
I saw him pop up in the...
Cambridge United. His boyhood club. He actually requested to leave MK Dons, where he's still getting a bit of a game, to go on loan to Cambridge United, who his boyhood club, I think we spoke about it the other week, his missus buys him a Cambridge United shirt every birthday. And they won the playoffs against Gateshead to return to league for the first time in 9 years. I'm a bit gutted for Gateshead, partly because I used to live in the North East and partly because they've never been in the Football League. I always think it's nice when these clubs get up, like your Fleetwoods, who are doing very well. We'll talk about them in the playoffs in a bit.
Talking of ex-Man United players playing for lower teams, as we're on the subject, we might as well. Smudgy. Alan Smith,
yeah.
He's gone and turned up at, is it Notts County or somewhere like that? He doesn't even know what he's going to be paid. Doesn't care about that. He just wants to play football.
Fair enough to him.
He was a better player than
Chadwick. It is such a shame that he broke his leg and that Alex Ferguson tried to shoe on him into the midfield for so long, because he was a very good player. I mean, remember him bursting through at Leeds, first touch in professional football, scoring against Liverpool at Anfield.
To be fair, though, when he went back to Leeds, he played in midfield for them most of the time that he was there, didn't he? When he went back,
he wasn't bad in midfield, but he wasn't a midfielder. He wasn't a central.
He was good at picking up a yellow card, wasn't he?
He was very good at picking up a yellow card. He was also good at looking like he was wearing lipstick in his early days. He had that boyish look about him with bright pink
lips. Never forget that injury. I'll never forget the look on Ruud van Nistelrooy's face when he saw just how bad his leg was.
Yes.
Like, everyone was rushing up to him, and, you know, I think strikers are a bit sort of selfish about themselves. A bit like F1 racers. Formula One racers.
It's all about wanting to take the shot. It's being greedy,
crashes.
Yeah.
When Van Nistelrooy saw Alan Smith's leg, he actually ran away. That bad.
it's similar when Dave Buss famously broke his leg playing against United for Coventry, and Peter Schmeichel threw up at the side of the pitch.
That's true.
But to be fair to a striker in that situation, Brian McClair went off the pitch with him holding his hand.
But speaking of Alan Smith, totally random, obviously working for the Mirror, we love a bit of our celebrity gossip. Did you see it recently? There was I think it was a couple of days ago, there was a piece on that Mario Falcone or whatever his name is.
I thought you were going to talk about us becoming best friends with Hulk Hogan when he was in the
office. That was awesome.
We didn't get anywhere near him, but I had my photo taken with Jimmy the Mouth of the South Hearts.
Which was a great day for you. So this Mario Falcone, his new bird, right, who he's supposed all loved up with, I think she might have been on Made in Chelsea or something like that, I don't fucking know. Anyway, but it was an expose on who she was, and it was like, This lovely new girlfriend he's got isn't as lovely.
Shagger.
Well, she was a football shagger, and she was the one that when she was 18.
Allegedly.
No. When she was 18, she was the one that was that Alan Smith got caught shagging hours before a international.
Years ago.
So there was just a picture of Alan Smith just popped up because she was the one that was, she sold her story to the Sun or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it was about, she couldn't believe that these England players, all they wanted to do was get on the piss and try and shag her mate.
Girls got to eat.
The matter of hours before a really important England game.
Speaking of really important England games,
we're good at this.
It's not the full team. Fantastically, the under-17s have won their second European Championship
back
in 4 years.
Back.
And they won it on penalties.
Yeah.
Perfect penalties.
Perfect, yeah.
They won 4-1.
The future is right. And can I just say...
It was the Dutch.
And a quick congratulations to Scotland, who beat Germany and Switzerland to get out of the group and get to the semi-finals.
Also, so very good for also them. Congratulations on, speaking of England and the young team, the under-21s.
Yeah.
Who are...
Great result the other night.
Great result.
On the verge
They've got two games left. They only need 1 point to guarantee qualification. Yeah. And they were. It was a great game to watch as well. I think it was Monday night. It was.
Is that Southgate in charge there now?
Yeah. He hasn't lost the game yet.
Whispering quietly, but there are some very good young English players coming through.
I'll tell you what, it's the first time I've really watched young Tom Ince. He is fucking
you say young,
exciting.
He's 23.
Tom Ince?
Yeah.
He's not.
21. He can't play.
No, 23.
Is he?
Under 21s can have two players in the squad who are over 21, can't they?
I thought it was based.
Is he?
23, I promise you.
He may be 23 because I think it's based on the year you were born in, you can play for X amount of time.
You can have you can have two members of the squad.
Because Peter Beardsley was the other one, wasn't he? Yeah.
But all right, Redmond?
Redmond,
Redmond
with
a hat-trick. I saw the first goal. He got all three.
It was really, really encouraging to watch.
I mean, you just hope, because there's obviously been false dawns like this in the past, and a lot of players don't always develop
But you can see, like Nathan Redmond has spent the year playing week in, week out for Norwich.
Played well for Norwich.
One of the few
bright sparks of their season. Yeah, and you hope these players will continue to get chances at the top level. I don't think Greg Dyke's plan will work in any way, but these players need the opportunity.
Connor as well. He's going to obviously hope
Connor
to play. Yeah, he's obviously going to hope to play a bigger part.
Well, I'll tell you what,
year.
A lot of these
he deserves it after the end of the season.
A lot of these opportunities might come from the fact that teams like Man City and, to a lesser extent, the other European clubs qualified for Europe are going to struggle to fulfil their homegrown quota. I don't know if that's picking up. There's a helicopter flying over. I think it might be Jim Staples parachuting in for an appearance.
No, I think they're probably looking for Jim Staples.
Yeah, actually, maybe,
I think they are after his antics.
Yeah, they've caught him on CCTV, but...
did you see the QPR fans, the blurred images of QPR fans?
God,
I didn't see... obviously, they're not good, they're looking for him, but I did. I'm pretty sure one of them looks a little bit like Stuart Hall.
I think the one thing I'll say is I know that Stuart Hall wasn't still in Loftus Road for the second half of that game. I think he'd encountered Stuart earlier, so allegedly. But so all the big things this week, obviously we're talking about gigs. Louis van Gaal appointed United manager, worst kept secret ever.
Yeah.
I'll lay this out there right now. I'm sure a lot of people will lay the same thing out on the table, but United will finish in the top four under him, and I think he'll turn things around.
Yeah.
Completely.
He is the exact right person for
Dave
United.
Kidd, who writes for The Mirror, wrote a really good article, I think it was on Tuesday, and he said, most of the time, if you're a manager, in your managerial career, if you take on the job as Man United manager, then that is by far and away the biggest job you've ever had. Louis van Gaal, he's managed the Netherlands twice.
Yeah.
He's managed Barcelona.
Twice.
And he's managed Ajax when Ajax were the
And
force
he's managed
were.
Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
And Bayern Munich. So he's just a manager who takes on blue chip managerial roles in the elite of football.
He's a bit like Jose Mourinho in that sense.
He's not going to be overawed by this. The media won't phase in.
No.
The players won't phase in.
It's all intents and purposes, he's a bit of an arsehole.
Yeah, and I'm
so was Ferguson.
I do think eventually it's probably going to end up in tears. I think eventually he will probably move on and...
Oh, yes, please.
There we go.
Thank you very much.
There's
a glorious food we were talking about.
Please. Thank you very
mayonnaise.
Much.
I'm going to steal a chip off Andy.
I'm going to miss this place.
I am definitely going to miss this place. But I think I'm actually gutted because I'd love to see United have another season like they've just had.
Yeah.
But they just won't.
Of course, without saying.
No, they just won't under Van Gaal. Absolutely.
No.
If Giggs is there, you're getting the continuity, which is really important for a club that wants to be traditional.
I think it's a very clever move from Van Gaal.
Well, the talk is as well that
Giggs can just
obviously
take
Luke
over
Shaw looks like a done deal, and apparently, if you believe the Manchester Evening News, who are normally quite good on these sources, Tony Cruz as well, which would be very interesting.
And, and there's a lot of talk about Robin for 20 million as well.
Yeah, I think 20 million for a 30-year-old is a bit much, or especially with his injury record, albeit he hasn't been that bad with it since he moved to Germany.
So he'll give you two good years.
But he's still a game changer.
Oh, he's still players who will come in and be great, like I think Van Gaal will.
I didn't realise Yaya Toure was 31.
Yeah,
I didn't realise he was that old.
He's actually 35.
Why? Has it been his birthday recently?
I don't know, has it?
He likes cake.
That's just there's something really odd, isn't it? Personally think he's going to end up staying because I think him and his agent are going to realise what a tit he's been made.
Well, I didn't. It upset me a little bit, to be honest. It actually disappointed me a little bit because I am.
That's fine.
Absolutely perfect. Thank you very much. It upset me because I am in awe.
Can I just say it's quite sad that's the last mayonnaise the North Pole will ever see.
Anyway, back to football.
I'm in awe of Yaya Toure. He is just one of the most magnificent football players.
You cannot, City have the money to go out there and buy anyone. And you cannot replace Yaya Toure. I was talking to someone about this the other day. You cannot replace Yaya Toure. With him out of your squad, there's no one who has... So, there's players in the Premiership who are the driving forces. Ramsey is someone I would say who's a real driving force from midfield.
But replaceable.
Yeah.
I'd say Ramsey's replaceable.
Because there are players with that skill set elsewhere.
But no one has the physical stature that Yaya Toure has, coupled with the technique, the pace, the skill, the power. I think the only person in world football that will maybe get close in that way
is Paul Pogba, who obviously isn't going anywhere from Juventus. And if he is, it's probably Real Madrid. But... Yaya Toure, I think I described Didier Drogba once as a blowjob of a footballer. Just this fantastic, just a joy to watch, almost primal. I think Yaya Toure fits into that category.
Well, you see what his agent's come out today and said that he basically wants a job for life at City, and he's not getting the respect that he deserves. He's saying that, like Zinedine Zidane at Real Madrid, Yaya wants the assurances that he's got a job for life.
And to be fair, that's one thing. I mean, it's one thing being this fantastic footballer.
How dare you?
But Yaya Toure is not Zinedine Zidane.
You have not scored one of the best goals in Champions League.
But you haven't won the World Cup. To be fair, France and Ivory Coast, difference in qualities. Yeah. Maybe not so much these days. But Zinedine Zidane won everything. He's one of the most naturally gifted players. And again, someone who was a joy to watch that film where it is just him for 90 minutes.
It's just,
he gets a red card at the end of that, doesn't he?
Yeah, much like his career, but
I fucking love him.
I think it was a very misguided way of trying to engineer a transfer.
At the end of the day,
that's what I mean. I didn't think you'd see that from someone like that.
He's a year into a new four-year contract.
Contracts mean nothing.
No, but I mean, City have all of the cards in terms of, you know, the way that you play this. I don't know where Toure and his agent go. He calls his agent dad, doesn't he? He calls his agent dad. Where do you go? You've got 3 years left on your contract and you're being paid 220 grand a week, so it's not like you're going to get... a City going to be held to ransom and they're going to offer him 350 grand a week or something?
His agent said it's not about the contract. The contract is okay. The contract is okay.
He said he doesn't care about the money.
But okay, it's more than fucking okay.
Yeah, but there's obviously been quite a lot of great spoofs on the internet and things since. One thing I particularly like, Yeovil Town and Colwyn Bay have both got in touch saying, oh,
they've actually sent birthday cakes.
Yeovil did, yeah.
Yeah. Amazing.
I'm surprised actually the Sun haven't done that in some sort of that's the kind of thing they normally do.
It is.
But the ones I particularly I liked, there is a spoof Yaya Toure Twitter account anyway, and in just wider popular culture, the UKIP hashtag on Twitter. If you don't know UKIP from abroad, they're a horrible, nasty, racist political party who are going to do quite well because there's a lot of stupid people in this country. And there's a hashtag they've been trying to promote called Why I'm Voting UKIP.
We're normally a politics-free podcast, but...
Oh, fuck that, no, don't be racist. So there's the Why I'm Voting UKIP, which has obviously been hijacked by people taking piss. I posted one earlier from the podcast account, which is obviously I'm Voting UKIP because the rubbish players like Aguero and Suarez ruin the Premier League, which they do. I want to go back to the days of Tony Cotty and Paul Walsh up front. But,
Neil
so there was the... Oh, God, it's a shame.
I see a picture of him the other day.
He's mahoosive, isn't he? But there was one, the Yaya Toure one was why I'm voting UKIP because they'll wish me happy birthday or something along those lines. But my favourite was the spoofed up Facebook status one where had all the people going, are you okay, babe? And then just in the middle of it, you have the Colo Toure account just saying,
Colo.
Bless him. Not that it was really him, but bless Colo Toure anyway.
I wish it was.
But, I don't know where, we've not got a link for this one, but Atletico Madrid. Champions, And potentially double winners.
No, I'm really
Did
worried.
Did you see the goal that Sanchez scored, by the way, to put Barca 1-0 up? What a fucking screamer that was.
Oh, sorry, you just really, I've got a tenuous link. Speaking of absolute screamers, we'll go back to Atletico. Charity match this week. I think it was in Italy. I'm going to go with Italy. Gabriel Batistuta scores a 35-yard thunder bastard.
I still got
like, it. Mate, it was, there's a little clip of it online, and you can just see that all the teammates like jump on him. He was one of my favourite players.
He clearly still plays like Jesus, but does he still look like him?
No, he's cut his hair.
But I tell you one thing,
it looks a little bit like Ginola.
One thing I will always remember, just before the 1998 World Cup, I was in Woodward's Barbers in Barnton getting my hair cut. I would have been 10 years old, 11 years old, and I remember Radio 5 Live being on in there and them reporting that United had agreed a deal to sign Batistuta and Ariel Ortega. Now obviously it didn't happen, but that would have been amazing.
Just amazing. So just seeing this,
went to Roma that season, didn't he?
Oh, no, he went to Roma a couple of years later. He was still he was still at Fiorentina. He absolutely ripped Arsenal and United apart in the Champions League while he was there. But
different gravy. Right.
Anyway, back to Atletico.
Yeah,
I mean, amazing to see.
Yeah,
absolutely amazing to see. I'm just
Simeone.
I'm just genuinely gutted about. Is Turan definitely out?
I think he is, yeah.
And Diego Costa is having
Diego Costa pulled a bit of an Ashley Cole, didn't he, in tears. Obviously, because he's missing the final, but you get the feeling as well he's not going to be playing for Atletico next season.
Which is, and Courtois saying that he doesn't want to come back and be Chelsea's understudy.
Mourinho saying that he wants him back.
Fair enough, he's arguably the best goalkeeper in the world. After the last couple of seasons, I'd argue.
He's only a Bambino.
He's only 22, isn't he?
For Belgium?
He's number one. Mignolet's number two, and their third choice goalkeeper's got injured. But.
Sorry, again, this is just reminding me. Did Jerome send you that newspaper clipping from 2002?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. I've got. I'll forget him. We'll have to post it. There's a newspaper clipping from 2002 with predicting Belgium's future stars, right? And it's pictures of all of them. Like, but it's pretty much, I think, there's about 12.
Fellaini, all of them.
Company, Benteke. I mean, they're all like, all pictures of kids. Yeah. They're all like the thought of potential of Belgium, and nearly all of them are in the World Cup.
Is it a Belgian clipping, or is it?
Yeah, I think it's Belgium, and it's just about all of them as kids, and obviously just predicting the future from 12 years ago, and they've got it pretty much spot on.
In a similar vein, I was reading 442 magazine the other week, and they have their. They go on Wikipedia and look at things that might be a myth, might be true, and one of them is that Michael Carrick appeared on Live and Kicking showing off football skills, and he did.
Brilliant.
In the mid 90s they did a thing at World's End Boys Club where all the great North East footballers come from, and he did like some keepy uppies on Live and Kicking. Brilliant.
Yeah. Actually, Belgium probably one of the dark horses for the World Cup, aren't they? Outside of the favourites,
you could almost argue they're not a dark horse because everyone knows how good their players are.
I think they'll fight to deceive. I've got to be honest.
Four more years.
I think there's some quality in that squad, obviously. But I also think
they'll miss Benteke.
I don't think I've seen.
And I also think there's not a lot of depth in that squad. It's similar to, I would say, in like, sort of talent to what England were like maybe in 2006. Yeah,
they have got off a superstar first 11 pretty much.
Yeah, if you remember when England had the starting lineup, we were always a bit shonky on the goalkeepers. But Gary Neville, Ashley Cole, Ferdinand, Terry, Lampard, Gerrard, Scholes at 2004, actually probably a better example, and Beckham, and then Owen and Rooney, and that was a great time level. But then you've still got your Heskies, your Phil Nevilles, your Kieran Dyers on the bench.
I mean, that's a piss take, right?
No, I'm just talking about those ones as the last few who are the top quality. But yeah, there's no depth in those squads.
Yeah,
but Belgium are going to struggle without Benteke. Yeah.
They have got Lukaku.
To be perfectly fair, he's not bad on his own, is he? But I think the two of them pose real questions to any defence.
Yeah. On the World Cup, big news this morning is that Luis Suarez is potentially out.
Yeah.
He's done his meniscus. For the tournament, not necessarily for England.
Who was it? Someone asked us that question.
It was Tim Tantrum. Yeah. Fantastically named Tim Tantrum, as always.
Basically,
yeah.
Said...
Is he the one person from England's punch you'd like to see missing, or do you want to play the best? I think when it's a World Cup, do want the best player to be there.
Great
news that he's not there.
To be fair, though, they've still got Cavani and Forlan.
Oh, yeah.
So.
It's one of those, it's a World Cup, I don't give a shit how we win it. If we won it, because all the teams we played, their best players got food poisoning.
No one's
going to
remember that.
I would liken it to Wimbledon last year when obviously Andy Murray got to the final, but with the exception of Djokovic, who we beat in the final.
Played no one.
Yeah. Nadal went out early.
I would also liken it to Arsenal's FA Cup victory when they played every single game at home.
You can only play
bastards.
What's in front of you at the same time.
Lucky
though,
bastards. Every game at home. Yeah.
Oh dear. Well, let's hope that you're.
Speaking of that, I'm not.
Well, we've not even mentioned the FA Cup. But yeah, congratulations. I tell you what, I wanted Hull to win, and it was a great final.
I wanted Hull to win, but I'm glad that Arsenal won.
Well, I'm not necessarily glad that Arsenal won, but I'm happy for Aaron Ramsey. After everything Aaron Ramsey's been through,
He couldn't hit a cow's arse with a banjo that game. He's about four or five.
Four shots in the first half of extra time.
Fucking 20 yards over the bar, and then he comes up with one of the most fantastic outside of the boot first time finishes to win it. It was absolutely amazing. But what a game. What a game. Like Hull 2-0 up within what, 8 minutes?
And had Kieran Gibbs not headed Alex Bruce's header off the line, it would have been 3-0 after 15.
He was an animal. Bruce was a fucking animal.
And when he got injured, it was actually what they didn't pick up was when he went off getting injured. There's an article on the Telegraph website about it. Steve Bruce clearly looking absolutely gutted for his son, but having to maintain being his boss. And I think, to be fair, there's a lot of talk about nepotism. There has been about Alex Bruce because he's kind of followed his dad around, but he clearly justified his place in that game.
He made a few stupid tackles, edge of the box and stuff, and gave away.
Yeah, he did.
He played. Like with the passion and the spirit, that gave me sort of goosebumps a little bit. That was the sort of wear your heart on your sleeve, give absolutely everything. Curtis Davies as well next to him.
Curtis Davies has been great all season.
The entire whole team that played.
The fact that goal, I said to more Arsenal fans, I'm not sure I said it on the show, that Hull would really struggle because they had no strikers playing. They didn't need the strikers, their centre backs were scoring. But was it Myler, I think, who had the header off the line? So it could have been all three of their three centre backs nearly scored.
They played with three at the back, didn't they?
No, it was like Bruce's header that was headed off the line.
Oh, was it? Oh, but I think
Bruce. Davies, Myler's in midfield. Watch your man. I can't remember.
We'll move on from that one.
Can't remember.
I'll go back to the two things I want to say.
That's going
to
really annoy me
now. FA Cup final.
Anyway, dig on.
One is bloody hell. Did anyone get a look at Steve Bruce?
Good-looking fella.
He's been eating a few pies.
He's a big boy.
Let's just say that. Steve Bruce is sponsored by some...
He was rotund enough as a player.
Wow.
What's the other thing?
He's doing well. The other thing is, I like this one. I told Mike about this the other day. The last time that an FA Cup final was won by a team who went 2-0 down and then won it, was in 1966.
I'm going to go and get another pint because that fact is that tenuous. I'll be back in a minute.
And it was Arsenal who, I think it was against Arsenal, but anyway, there you go. Michael doesn't like that fact.
He doesn't
like that fact, but you know what, I like it.
No, it was a fantastic game. I think it's in the last 5 years, there's only been, I think it's been a 1-0 win or something like that. It's the most goals that have been scored in a cup final.
You know, someone said to me the other day that FA Cup finals are actually occasions recently that haven't been that good, but
absolutely right.
Wigan Man City was a good game. Actually, it was an interesting game. It might not have been a purist game, but it was an interesting game of football.
The final is always a good day.
Yeah.
The final is always a good day. The final is always fun. I think it's what's a little bit sad is that it's the whole of it. If you know what I mean, from start apart from the lower league teams,
it can be over after half time.
It hasn't quite got that same spirit that it's had in years before.
Well,
but
the last good one was Liverpool West Ham. That was a cracking game.
Absolute blinder, but. Now it's congratulations to Arsenal.
Well done, Arsene Wenger. Spend some money. move on from Arsenal.
I hope not.
Have you seen? There's been quite a lot of crowd control problems in Spain.
What was the game the other day when the bloody part of the stadium collapsed?
There was a game where it was at Osasuna.
That was terrible.
Yeah, Osasuna Real Betis or someone like that.
Wait, Mike, was it Osasuna?
Mike, can you help us with this? Osasuna Betis?
Where the ground collapsed the other day in Spain.
It was Osasuna,
yeah.
That was terrible. Luckily, no one was...
There are a few people taken to hospital.
No
but
serious injury.
Yeah.
It was a lovely, sort of heartwarming shot of one of the Osasuna players or carrying an injured.
And actually, I don't know where I saw this, and I can't give you the facts, but there was a player who received one hell of a nasty tackle. And died a day later. Have you seen this?
I've got this, yeah. Obviously, part of my round stuff.
Right,
yeah.
So you can...
Ackley Ferruz.
It's a striker. Tackle, isn't it?
Well, he's a striker for Premier League side Persiraja in Indonesia. And unfortunately, the keeper fumbles it. He goes in to challenge the keeper. Now, I think it's a disgusting tackle for me from the keeper. He goes up and he ends up...
Oh, it's a terrible tackle.
And he ends up booting him sort of in...
A liver shot, isn't it?
Yeah, right sort of towards the liver. And he went off...
Little rabbit punch.
He went off, was injured, stuck around. Unfortunately, he went to hospital and 3 days later died from internal bleeding, which is just... So, yeah.
One thing I will say is clearly the goalkeeper has not intended to
hurt him that seriously.
It was reckless. It was a goalkeeper's challenge. You think of Harald Schumacher, who, to be fair, just completely took out Batisson in the 82 World Cup.
I was debating this when I was playing footy the other day. I don't think it's fair that goalkeepers, when they jump to catch the ball above their head, they can jump with knees up. I completely understand that, you know, if you're jumping and you've got your midriff exposed, yeah, you know, you get clattered, it's going to hurt. But the amount of goalkeepers that jump and lead with the knee that has caused...
Actually was Mark Bosnich versus Tottenham in the 90s when he took out Jurgen Klinsmann, knocked him out cold.
I think there should be something done. I know you've got to protect goalkeepers, fair enough, but I think there should be something done to protect players. That you should not be able to jump and lead with a knee because it causes too much problems.
They are a bit isolated, though, aren't they? I mean, it's not like they're happening all the time. I do, to a certain degree, agree with what you're saying there. But,
yeah.
Anyway, our thoughts are with his family.
Yeah.
Speaking of, just very quick on World Cups. Shock, horror. I mean, this is news that I don't think any of us saw coming. Basically, apparently, Qatar 2022 might have been a mistake.
What?
Really?
No, fuck off. I won't hear it. They've got the football...
I've already bought my plane ticket.
They've got the history, the infrastructure, the weather.
Sepp Blatter, the
liberal attitudes to homosexuality and women, I mean.
I mean, he's now come out and said that they have made a mistake and that it's probable that the tournament won't be held in the summer,
England,
when the temperatures reach 50 degrees Celsius.
No, hold it in England.
Come on, man up.
I mean, I didn't see it coming.
Hold it in England.
I'm not having it.
We'll take it.
They
would. Would they, wouldn't we?
Fucking right.
We could deal with it tomorrow. I tell you what, we really could. We could deal with that tomorrow.
The thing is, there is still time for it to be handed to someone else, but FIFA will not back down. No. And if they do, the last people they're going to want to give it to is us because it would be the smug, we told you so, we run for it.
It would be that last phone call, wouldn't it? Let's phone every other possible person, see if they can do it.
Look who's come crawling back.
Yeah.
But I tell
you what... Let's call Germany, they've had it too recently.
Also, I mean, the problem you're going to have as well is that, obviously, they try and avoid having it in the same confederation two times in a row, and with it being in Russia in 2018, I think they'd be more likely, because the USA could run it tomorrow.
Yeah, but that's too soon.
I'd argue it's too soon.
A lot of travel, USA as well,
and that's even closer.
USA, you're having a World Cup. Obviously, I don't remember the World Cup, but in theory, that's some serious travelling.
In theory, though, to be fair, Australia, who did apply for it, and I thought should have had it. Australia could probably host it.
It was a shit World Cup, that USA 94.
It wasn't all shit. I mean, Bulgaria beating Germany.
It wasn't the Irish
beating Italy. It wasn't a great World Cup. It was one of the weaker ones, but it was a decent one. I was watching the girls not long ago.
I'd say it's the worst World Cup in my memory.
No, I would actually argue the last one. I don't think there was anything that really grabbed me at the last World Cup. I don't think there was any world-class player who really...
What?
There was, but there wasn't any... Your Ronaldo's disappointed, Messi disappointed. Iniesta, Spain was
the
shit.
Whole
Spain never won more than 1-0.
Doesn't matter.
They were shit. They lost to Switzerland. They were obviously very good, but
do
it was boring.
Do you remember the World Cup final, even though there weren't any goals in it? It was a fantastic
game
to watch.
It was a terrible game.
No, it wasn't.
It was. It was the Dutch trying to kick seven shades of shit out of Spain.
Oh, it was Van Bommel.
Yeah,
Van
and Spain. I mean, and De Jong.
De Jong actually doing the Daniel LaRusso.
I would argue 2010 was the worst World Cup I can't remember any game that particularly grabbed me. And it was great because we had a free pub for a month at work. I was there at MEA. But it was dull. It was no 2006. It was no 2002.
I really enjoyed the
speaking
last
about, see what Jimmy Bullard came out and said about
Capello. Oh, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Postman Pat Capello.
I love the idea of Jimmy Bullard and David Bentley as
just
these two, like...
Little joke, little naughty schoolboys. Yeah. Just playing pranks
for
on
me,
Capello.
I would give David Bentley a job at United now just on the back of the fact that he seems like a right lad.
Yeah.
For the benefit of our listeners, in case they haven't... read or heard what Bullard's gone and said.
I think we just make them either have read it or not. I think we leave you out. No, I'm only joking. Go on, Dan.
No, we're just saying that he felt he got better coaching at non-league football than he did under postman Pat Capello.
Yeah.
Which is a bold statement, but
yeah,
I love Jimmy Bullard.
Yeah, he's a good.
It's quite funny considering he was called up to the squad by Capello. Which,
yeah,
you know, he's the only person who gave him a chance.
Speaking of cheeky Cockneys, Harry Redknapp's grandson has signed for Bournemouth, age 7, and
his
name, Harry Redknapp.
No.
So we're going to have another Harry Redknapp.
Harry Jr.
Dynasty.
Potentially playing one day.
Speaking of.
Something.
Financials.
Oh, because Harry Redknapp's a fraudster.
Well allegedly.
Allegedly.
UEFA.
I wonder how rosy is.
UEFA. Banned gambling.
You could have just said speaking of fraudsters, because we know UEFA.
Oh, I didn't read that.
They have. UEFA have drawn up plans. No, sorry, that's something. That's a different story. All professional footballers in England. Sorry, it's FIFA. Sorry, no, FIFA. The FA.
The FA.
It's one of them.
There's an F in there.
But all is in England.
All professional footballers in England. We banned from betting on football matches from next season.
Anywhere in the world, not just English
that,
games, not just games they're involved in.
Is that proposal or is that
no,
ban?
No, it's
a ban.
It's a ban.
Fair enough. It's the right thing to do.
I also read, talking of financials, I also read that there could be a scenario where everyone in the Premier League...
Yeah, so that's what I was about to say.
Everyone in the Premier League...
Gets Man City's money.
Gets implicated into Man City... Well, yeah, gets some of Man City's money.
So you
or gets some of the fine.
That's what I started off saying when
so
I was
saying that.
So your
rivals, Man United, are going to get a couple of mil off Man City.
I think the idea is that it will cause the clubs to come down harder on their rivals and say, no, we won't sell you this player because we don't think you'll achieve financial fair play. No, we're not going to... Back you and
I think it's a really interesting way of looking at it.
Because you're looking at it going, well, if you're cheating by not going along with our fair play rules, you're cheating the rest of your teams in your league out of potentially...
I think in England it can work. Where it won't work is in places like Russia, where you have oligarchs running the big clubs. Because you look at the clubs that were indicted, it was Rubin Kazan, Zenit, and
PSG.
I think there were a few others, there were a couple of Turkish clubs. But in Russia, I think there were three. I know it was Zenit and Rubin, I'm not sure on the other. Macarena. But the problem you'll have there is your tiny clubs that are based out in the middle of nowhere in Russia, they're not going to have the clout to go against them. So these clubs will just keep doing it. They won't have to take on all the fight, and it'll drive some of these clubs out of business.
So what happened with PSG?
Oh, well, so PSG, well, scumbags of the week goes to the PSG fans.
Right.
Oh, I've got a few more scumbags,
don't
you worry.
I would say Italian fans,
well,
Italian national football team fans.
Well, them as well, but PSG are being charged over abuse of disabled Chelsea fans.
Really?
Yeah, it was when PSG won 3-1 against Chelsea, the disabled fans were... No, at PSG.
Oh, so at PSG? No,
at PSG. There was disabled Chelsea fans below some of the PSG fans. In fact, they were throwing abuse in disabled fans. And it's been done under the sort of Racism and Discrimination Act, because it's never happened before. No one's ever like.
Well, it's discrimination. It is.
But I mean, but that's absolutely. But I mean, this specific charge of abusing disabled fans is obviously a bit weird. It's absolutely scumbags. But then it was just going on the back. Sorry that they've also last month been fined $49 million by UEFA and had the size of their squad cap for next season's Champions League for breaching the financial.
Same as City. Yeah.
But and this is the thing. Going back to what we were originally saying about. How do you make it actually a little bit more fair to the league and other clubs around you? PSG arguably got more money than Man City, haven't they?
Well, they've got about the same money. The difference being that Man City play in a much more competitive league.
I mean, they do.
No disrespect to the French league, where Lyon have done very well over the last 10 years. Marseille are a massive club.
Can you name 8 Monaco players? I don't think I can. I looked at their starting 11.
I'm sure I could name a fair few. Rodriguez and Moutinho and obviously Falcao and
I can name a Rennes player.
Oh yeah.
Well, there you go. Yeah, or Stade Rennais, to give them the full name.
I can name a Rennes player. Striker Paul-Georges Ntep.
Of course.
Ntep. Last day of the season, last game of the season the other week, rubbed salt into the wounds, as they say. Of their rivals, Reims,
Were in the first ever European Cup final against Real Madrid.
Good knowledge. It was a meaningless mid-table match.
Oh, I've seen.
However, old school on going round the keeper, the cheeky bastard.
Oh yeah,
had stopped
this.
The ball on the line and headed it in. You cheeky bastard.
Lad.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'll give him a lad. I'll give him a lad points for that.
Well, lads of the week, and I've got a few of them. First off, thank you to Ansgar Loch, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. It's a German name. His tweet was in...
Are you definitely German?
I would assume so. There's an umlaut in there, so... Yeah.
Whoa. That is...
That's not racist.
No, but it's a bit of an assumption.
Well, he's tweeting us about the women's German Cup final, so I'm going to assume he's German.
Oh, I love this.
Or she's German. Yes, the banner that they had at the final, which was 11 girls, one cup.
I think it should have been 22 girls, surely.
I think they were supporting just one team. So, you know, ultimately, I don't want any more.
If you're talking numbers, throw another 11 in.
Aren't we throwing sexist? Isn't that sexist? That's out of order, Michael.
What is?
Right, it's saying about that banner.
It's a funny reference to an absolutely horrific video that I would really recommend you don't watch because it's horrible. Also, the Brazilians, lads of the week, they're selling condoms that are
coloured
like branded for the Brazilian team. So obviously, imagine yellow,
Neymar's
green,
popular one.
Neymar on the back, yeah, ridiculous. Other lads of the week. Well, I'll go into Class English in a minute because he's more than a lad. He's an absolute hero. But the Bolivian president, Evo Morales, 54, who has signed for top division club Sports Boys in Bolivia. He has signed to play for them, given the number 10 shirt, and he can play when he wants to.
The owner said,
oh no, he's a really good player. Honestly, he is. Bearing in mind, South American politics at times can be a bit tricky.
Dubious.
They said, it's not like we've signed a Uruguayan president, the joke being that the Uruguayan president is 78.
Actually, an interesting one, there's a Colombian team that are trying to get David Beckham out of retirement to play in the Copa Libertadores.
Bolivian. I think it's Bolivar, who are the big team in Bolivia.
To play in the South American version of the Champions League.
Go close to home, get Gabriel Batistuta back.
Well, that's your goal.
Or if you're going to go Bolivian, get former Middlesbrough winger Mikel Magado.
I was just going to
say Beckham's probably a bit more of a poster boy. even in his own country.
Potato Magado, but the ultimate hero of the week. Klas Ingesson, you may remember him from his playing days. He played for Sheffield Wednesday for a year. He played for Sweden in their 94 World Cup team that finished third on the left wing. He offered the sort of defensive steel that offset Thomas Brolin's attacking flair. He's now co-manager of Elfsborg, but the reason he's a hero is in 2009 he was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is a form of bone marrow cancer that for most people has absolutely no cure, and he still suffers from it. And because of his illness, he ended up breaking his leg and he's consigned to a wheelchair, but he's still managing a top level club in Sweden. And when he broke it, he broke it pitch side, falling out of his chair. he was taken to hospital, and bear in mind he's co-managed someone there to run it, but he didn't want to leave the stadium, and he was asking what the score was. Well, they're like, no, you've broken your thigh, you really need to get this out. He's like, no, what's the score? So, absolute legend. Really, right. There's a story about him on the Guardian website. It is heartwarming. I really recommend reading it, but...
Fantastic.
Yeah. And also, actually, get well soon to Celtic legend Danny McGrain, who had a heart attack. He played for Scotland and Celtic for many, many years. Formed a great partnership with Sandy Jardine in defence for Scotland. He's getting better, but get well to
him. Oh, I'll tell you what, sorry, speaking of Celtic, oh, George
Neil Lennon.
Samaras.
No, Neil Lennon.
Oh, no,
Neil
Lennon's
got it. Samaras and Lennon?
No, Georgie Samaras. There was obviously, there's
do both.
There's a lot of upset in the Celtic ranks about...
Can I just say an interesting fact about Georgie Samaras? You know Joe Hart's Head and Shoulders adverts?
Yeah.
Georgie Samaras does them, but in Greece.
Brilliant.
Same advert but with him.
I want to see that.
I'm not surprised. He's got a wonderful hair.
Much better than Joe Hart.
Much better hair. But there was was it last game of the season? I think there was there's a picture of him. He's brought on a little boy who I think he's got Down syndrome. And he's... I think he's well. He's sort of become a bit of a mascot at the club, Celtic. Yeah. He's a massive little Celtic fan. Awesome little fella. And Georgie Samaras picked him out of the crowd and took him onto the pitch with him for the celebrations. And he saw this little boy's face was just heartwarming to see. And it was just, and he actually all like stroked his beard a little bit. And it was just lovely. Just,
that's what I feel like doing to you right now. Yeah. Mainly because I can't grow one.
So Neil Lennon's
going. Well, to be fair, he's had the easiest job.
Yeah.
For the last few seasons.
But maybe that's a bit unfair because they have done certainly punched above their weight in the Champions League, beating Barcelona and Ajax and Sparta.
But what does that job offer you in the next couple of years? There's still no Rangers. Yeah. There's still no challenge.
One would expect Rangers to be back in the top flight next season. Yeah. However, obviously, that depends a lot because Hearts are going to be down there. They're going to be challenging at the top.
Yeah, but I mean,
they've had some glory nights, though, haven't they?
Beating Barcelona, who were at the time one of and still are one of the best teams in Europe. Yeah.
Well, they've got. Hang on a minute. They've only lost one home game in how many?
They've only lost one game in the league this season.
In the Champions League, their home record in the Champions League is incredible.
Yeah.
They've only actually been beaten at home once in the Champions League. I think that was to AC Milan
or in recent years they've only lost once, which was to AC Milan the other year when they got to the knockout stages and did so well in the
Serie A. So the group stage home record is still
it's why Zlatan amazing. Said he wouldn't mind finishing his career there because the atmosphere at Celtic Park.
Oh, talking of Zlatan, it's a great feature on the World Cup FIFA game. And do you know what?
No, go on.
What do you mean, no?
No. This is something totally else. Something totally different, which I've just remembered.
Keep it burning in the back. The World Cup FIFA PlayStation Xbox
the FIFA World Cup.
What they've done is they've put a 23-man squad together of players that didn't make
tournament. The countries didn't make it.
Countries that didn't make it. So you can't have Tevez in there. But you can have is Latin.
Swedes and
The
Gareth Bale's in there.
Skirtle, Bale, Ramsey.
There are a few in there that I'd argue shouldn't be, but obviously I think they have to offer a range of players.
There's quite a few African players that you might not necessarily have heard of. But anyway.
I tweeted about this last week through the podcast as well. Have you seen the Get Zlatan to Brazil?
Yeah.
Like the campaign, it's amazing. They've had all these Brazilian celebrities, including football players, Dani Alves is in there, Ronaldo's
is
in there. I think it's Vama Ibra or something like that. It's basically hashtag. The whole point is they're trying to do this massive social media push to get Zlatan to come to Brazil, obviously just to be in Brazil for the World Cup, even just come for the first game. They're all going, it wouldn't be the World Cup without you there, Ibra. So like, it's amazing. Obviously for me, as much as I love him, like it's the whole, just a random campaign just to get him to the World Cup.
I don't think they'd do that for Cristiano Ronaldo, would they?
I don't think they would have done.
Given the billing was, Ibrahimovic, Ronaldo, who goes to the World Cup.
I don't
think people are booking Ronaldo.
Boxing is Zlatan's a cult hero, isn't it?
And I think that's my point.
It's been cultivated very well because for years he was thought of as a dickhead who wasn't as good as everyone thought he was. Because in this country, we thought, oh, he never performed.
Yep.
What everyone's realised is he's just a legend.
Yeah.
And he is that fucking good. He is.
Also, I know we've already talked about Champions League final, but there is talk that Ronaldo might not be fit.
Diego Costa's definitely fit.
Diego Costa definitely a big doubt. But Ronaldo, there's doubts about.
He'll get there.
They said they were both fit.
Yeah, but, it, but you know, is this a
mind
you
games.
Know?
Yeah.
Do you want him playing at 50%? Probably not. Actually, because his game revolves around movement. He's not a box player, is he?
He's not Zinedine Zidane.
His game revolves
but
around movement.
The last game he played when he came off for. When Bale came on for him.
Yeah.
Was that the second leg of the second leg of Champions League or first leg?
No, it wasn't. It might have been it was the domestic cup final. Wasn't it?
I think
it
might have been
Spanish League final. Spanish Cup final.
And he was pretty average, do you remember? Because he obviously wasn't fit.
Bale came on, scored the winner.
Yeah. Well, a few more things to run through very quick fire because this pub is a bit further away of a walk and we're going to have to tie it up. Let's see what
£3 we've got. £3 a pint, though.
Congratulations. Yeah, you can't knock that.
Come on, hurry up.
Congratulations to Ian Stimpson, who won the podcast fantasy football title, which obviously we'd all been paying attention to.
Don't belittle his achievement. Well done, lad.
I don't remember.
The top placed podcaster, by the way.
No,
I don't know. I haven't logged in since September.
Are you sure?
Stop it.
No,
move.
Moving on. I gave up in September. Somebody sent this in to us and I didn't make it out of it, so sorry about that. Albion Rovers have been doing a pay what you can for their season tickets next season.
Yeah, and they've actually made more money.
Brilliant motive. I've got a mate who's an Albion Rovers.
They've averaged
it
about £75 a ticket or something like that, which is pay what you play, and it's actually
done
better for the team.
Brentford really did well at increasing exposure to families and people who weren't necessarily going to games, doing really well with their attendances.
Yeah, but it's not season tickets, is it?
No, it's not.
Get your head out of your arse, Andy.
I have no idea.
Go on.
And
let's wrap it up.
Dan Greenfield's always wants to talk about the Football League. The playoffs massive this weekend.
Shit, we haven't even talked about playoffs.
Quick predictions then. Sorry, we'll talk about it more next week when we know who's got
Burton to beat Fleetwood for me. Derby to beat QPR and Rotherham to beat Orient.
I would say myself, I think Fleetwood will beat Burton, but other than that... And that's mainly because they've had such a meteoric rise.
Russell Slade, interestingly, has been linked with a West Brom job.
Well, you know...
I mean, it's rare that you see a manager linked with a job more than a division above where he is.
Well, good luck to him. It doesn't always work out, but who knows? Anyway, Andy, you need to type in the code because we're recording on your phone this week.
We are indeed.
But we've got our exciting announcement.
The exciting announcement. We've had a fourth birthday present.
Well, you know the score because you can email us banter@footballpodcast.co.uk, www.facebook.com/thefootballpodcast, Andy.
Oh.
You can write a review on iTunes and we will read it out. Follow us on Twitter @footballpodcast. But the website I set up a couple of months ago is the most fantastic modern website. However,
with the best website email address, address that you
have. Oh, I did hear about that.
However, we've been given a birthday present
Simon
from the Godfather
Head,
himself.
Yes, who is a lot more tech savvy than any of us put together, has made us a really spiffy
new website.
Which we will be tweeting about. It looks fantastic and it's just brilliant. It works well on tablet, it works well on phones, it's
mobile
fantastic.
Optimized.
So it is.
It's the shit.
It is.
Andy, it's the shit.
It is the shit.
Oh, I'm so excited. Thank
Whereas
you
this
so
show
much.
Is normally just shit. This is
But this
shit.
Is this is it big is news. Big news.
Footballpodcast.tumblr, and for those of you who don't use the internet much, that's TUMBLR,
noe.com.
It is beautiful. We will be uploading as much content on there as
it
possible.
We're doing a show next
delightful.
Week. We are, aren't we?
Of course we are,
yeah, we'll be around.
And we're going to do some
World Cup specials. We'll be recording throughout the World Cup as regularly as possible.
Certainly will. And there are more rumoured appearances
From the Godfather himself. And maybe a few other blasts from the past.
Yeah, it would be great.
By which I mean Jim. But anyway, have a good week and come on Atletico.